Before we go any further tonight, I want to take a few minutes and we're going to receive the church regular tithes and offerings. I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Proverbs, if you would, chapter 3. You fasten your seatbelts tonight. Put your tray tables to the full and upright position. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your capital, the Amplified says, and sufficiency from righteous labors. Notice there, it didn't say, honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from your cocaine sales. And your drug running, the righteous labors. And with the first fruits of all your income, so shall your storage places be filled with plenty and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. It's very interesting to note the times that we're living in, because everybody, you know, they're looking at the economy and they're looking to two candidates to promise them a future of an economy. And unfortunately, they don't understand what's actually going on here, that the whole thing is designed to fail on purpose. It's not a Democratic problem, Republican problem. The thing goes over 100 years. The thing, and I don't have time to get into tonight, but it's all to do with the central banking system of the globe. That's all linked. And unfortunately, America was sold out a long time ago. And so both sides of the aisles have been bought. And basically, we swing from right to left and in the middle, and we go down the tubes more and more, because all you're seeing in leadership is just puppets of a system. So they can promise you the world, but can't deliver, because you really are subject to the central banking system, which, you know, he who pays the piper calls the tune. Amen. Why are you sitting looking at me like I'm making this stuff up? Some of you don't know this. I mean, the Federal Reserve is not the U.S. It's a private bank. Sorry to tell you that. I know that comes as a blow to many people here tonight. So two things were signed in 1913, Federal Reserve Act and the IRS Act, which both are private institutions. IRS takes money from the American people to pay back the Federal Reserve. So, you know, what we're $16 trillion in the hole, they're going to take us to 20. They want to bankrupt the country because that's how they make everybody slaves. So there is no plan to pay off any debt, to get everybody in debt. Now, somebody said, oh, well, then we're all up the creek and we're in trouble. Not according to my Bible. Because, you see, if we go to the Word of God, then we see that God's Word transcends any institution by man, whether that be 100, 200, 300 years old. This goes back thousands of years. And so we've been living, I mean, you go back and see how they lived over the centuries. Believers lived through different tyrants and despots and different kingdoms of men and whatever. And there were groups of believers that thrived and believed God, and God, they saw the hand of God on them. And God has his plan for the church to function in the financial realm, no matter what is over us, under us, around us. Can you say amen? And God's system of finances is sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping, that's it. Seed time and harvest, that's God's plan for the church. My God, somebody get a laxative over this side here. Really? Seriously? I mean, come on. seed time and harvest. That's God's plan. I thought I'd get a little bit more response from that. God's plan is sowing and reaping. That's it. And he said, it's got nothing to do with who's in power, who's president, who's not. It's got to do with his word. He said, you bring in a tenth, your tithe, into the storehouse. And he said, your storage place will be filled with plenty and your vats will be overflowing with new wine. That's it. Period. Kings come, kings go. But God's people are going to get blessed when we operate according to God's financial plan. And I happen to know that this is true because we've been in 50 countries of the world and we've seen what the people there live under. We were in Zimbabwe and they don't even have a currency. The currency of Zimbabwe was so devalued that they gave me a $100 trillion note, Zimbabwe dollar note. $100 trillion Zimbabwe notes will buy a cup of coffee. So they got no money. They're using a Federal Reserve note. There's $4 billion trading every day in Zimbabwe. So it's the unofficial currency of Zim. So when I was there, I said, well, didn't know I was in the 51st state, and they were all mad at me and whatever. I said, no, well, we must be. I mean, you go to the ATM, you pull U.S. dollars out. So what's that? Well, sorry, let me rephrase it. You pull Federal Reserve notes out. So think about this. I said to the pastors, I said, so how do you function? I had to ask the Zimbabwean pastors, my brothers. I said, how in the world? Because Adonica was born in Zimbabwe. Stand up, my sweetheart. This year we've been married 31 years. She was born in Zimbabwe. And Zimbabwe was a phenomenal, flourishing country. So I said to the pastors, how do you survive? I said, the banks, oh, they said, we don't use the banks. We stopped using them a long time ago. They're crooked. They stopped using the banks. I said, well, how do you function there? No, we pray, we sow, and we believe God. I thought, wow, what a novel idea. Amazing. We pray, we sow, and we believe God. I said, you know, I might have to get you to come over and help some of my American brothers who their faith is in First National, Second National, the Fifth Third Bank, the Bank of Prosperity, the Bank of whatever else. Their faith is in the institutions. People in America think they're getting blessed if they get a credit card in the mail with a $5,000 line of credit. Hallelujah. The Lord just blessed me, Pastor. I got a $5,000 line of credit. People are up to the eyeballs in debt because they want everything that the world is offering. Instead of believing God, walking by faith, sowing and trusting God and praying it in and paying cash for it, people don't even know that your credit score is a hoax. It's a con job. Because if you have a lot of debt and you pay it all the time, you have good credit. The moment you pay off all your debt, then you don't have good credit. Well, you're not. You know, what do you mean? I pay cash for everything. We don't like you. No, because I'm not part of your system. I went to one place and I paid cash for the purchase of a vehicle, and they were mad at me. We offered this loan and no interest. I said I don't want it. Well, where are you getting the money from? I said, it's none of your business. It's none of your business. We're paying cash. And they were angry. Well, we got incentives. I don't want your incentives. I'm going to pay cash. And they were mad. You'd have thought I committed a crime. So this is so important in this hour that we're living in, because here's the bottom line. Let me say this. I mean, I'm not a... How many know that I'm a happy person? How many know that? And And I'm not a doom and gloom preacher. But I mean, I just tell you the cold facts. Okay, this is in the natural. So you need to know these things. Because just like Argentina, 8-9 years ago, woke up on a Monday morning and there was no money. There's only 7% of cash in circulation right now. If every American made a run on the banks tomorrow morning, all the banks would collapse. There's not enough money to go around. Because that's how they control everything. Thomas Jefferson said, 1802, he said, if the Americans will ever allow the central banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the private banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the American people of their property until they wake up homeless on a continent their fathers conquered. That was 1802. So they were dealing with that problem right there. Remember, the founding fathers have made a break out of the tyranny of England, if you know what was going on there. And I don't have time to go back to the Bank of England. But they funded both sides of the war. And that's they still do that today because they fund both sides. They create the enemy and they fund him, building up, and then they fight him. And they destroy him and they have to build the infrastructure. That's how money is made. Money is made in wartime. The bankers want to go to war because they make money. And they use the military might of nations as puppets to fight, create the problems. I've seen it. I've seen them. I've watched them come in and stir up problems, racial problems, and this kind of problem, that kind of problem. Get everybody fighting because the moment you fight, you're distracted. And then you don't see what they're doing. You have no clue what they're doing. It's a shell game with no P. Anybody seen a shell game? You know, one of those shells has got a P under it, except these have got no P. The P is gone. P was taken away. You just think the P is there, but it ain't there. So the second central bank that came along at the time of Andrew Jackson, when he defeated the bank, took him 20 years. He killed the banks. On his deathbed, they said, what is your greatest achievement? He said, I killed the banks. He defeated the bank. His vice president shot the Secretary of the Treasury in a duel. This is history, American history. So that's why on the Federal Reserve note are pictures of dead presidents that were against the central banking system. It's a mockery, too. The dead presidents. We won. Notice the silence. Notice how quiet it just got. It is hard for Americans to actually understand what has actually transpired in this great country. People don't believe it. Well, it's just a conspiracy. Okay, fine. No problem. Carry on drinking the Kool-Aid. Go down. Go to Starbucks. And catch a movie and stomp by Billy Bob's and get something to drink because you're going to need it. Because you're not going to drink the new wine, so you better go drink the other stuff. Now, somebody said, well, I don't hear preachers talk about it. Yeah, because a lot of them are afraid to say anything because they're afraid that they're going to get into trouble. But you know what? You know, here I am. You want a piece of me, then come right on down. But I'm not going to shut up. I don't care what. I didn't come to America. I didn't come to America as a missionary and then become an American citizen and raise my hand to pledge to defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign or domestic, and then watch what's going on to shut up. I'm not shutting up, and I'm not changing the subject. It'd be a cold day in hell. I'm not going to do it. Listen, Jesus whipped the bankers of the day. The money changer, he whipped them. Ka-choo. Ka-choo. Oh. I mean, that's the problem we've got in Washington, D.C. You've got career politicians. You've got these lobby groups. People are in there. They've got their little under-the-table money coming. They go into office with nothing. 2 years later, they're worth like $12, $15, $20 million. How? How? Money under the table. I mean, if I can't say this in Texas, then we're in trouble in America. I mean, the last time I checked, this was Texas. Last time I heard, you don't mess with Texas. Do we still have a few Texans around here? Yes, sir. Yeehaw! I mean, as long as you know what the problem is, and then you disconnect from the world system. I'm telling everybody, get out of debt, pay cash for everything, and don't be up and down based on the stock markets. I mean, you've got quantitative easing 3 coming out now. They're just pumping into the Fed. I mean, the Fed's just pumping into Wall Street, keep it fluffed up. It's all a pass-through back to the banks. There's nothing coming to the people. No money's going to be loaned to anybody. So I don't think you're going to get any money loaned to you. Because the first two easings were to prop up the housing market, to hold the toxic assets of the housing market debacle. This one is to hold the commercial real estate, which should have burst. But what the banks were doing was keeping the commercial real estate inside the bank and having outside guys come in and manage the toxic assets. You've got the whole of Europe ready to implode at any second. And it's all connected to America. And it's all by design. It's not by accident. It's all by design. How many knew that martial law was already signed in? You're pretty knowledgeable here in Texas. Whew, there's hope from the Lone Star State. Somebody said, but why would there be martial law? If the banks folded tomorrow, which could happen. Now watch this. Then there's no money. Now you've got everybody riding the streets, and then you've got people pillaging stores and whatever. At the moment they can't get food, you've got anarchy. Somebody said that ain't going to happen. Oh, yeah. Like they'll knock you in the head for a $99 DVD player? Seriously? There'll be bloodshed in the streets. So then you're going to have to go to martial law. What does that mean? That means no interstate travel. That means curfews at 9 o'clock in the evening. In actual fact, we are right now in Nazi Germany in 1933, right now, as a nation. We are right now in Nazi Germany in 1933, while the church is playing religious games. I'm watching religious leaders say absolutely nothing. It's like, tomorrow's going to be fine, and I got a feeling. You know, I'm going like, seriously, bro. I mean, you can't see what's going on here. You don't realize what's happening here in the country. This is why we keep hitting city after city after city in the Great Awakening. 2 weeks ago in Tallahassee, over nearly 7,000 people saved in Tallahassee. Last week in Mobile, Alabama, over 10,000 people saved in Mobile, Alabama. This week we're right outside of Nashville, Tennessee. I'm in the Great Awakening. Listen, since the 2nd of January of last year, over 2,078,000 decisions for Christ just since last January. I mean, we are smacking this thing up the side of the head. Why? Because the only hope for America is another great awakening. That's the only hope. Only hope. Now, you're not to be in fear, because this is not our kingdom. You've got to understand, our kingdom is not of this earth. God told us what will happen to us. You honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labors. Amen. 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 And what does he say? Your barns will be filled with plenty. That's all you need to know. Just keep doing what you know to do. Keep on honoring the Lord. Keep on worshiping God. Amen. Amen. Stay out of debt and disconnect from the world system. We've got to get people off of food stamps, off of government subsidies. Get them off of all this stuff. Get them off of it. Okay? You don't need anything from the government. You don't need the government. You do not need the government. You need you. You don't need the government. You need you. You need your friends. You need your family. You could do it without the help from the government. We need nothing from the government. We don't need nothing. We don't need anything. Zero, zilch, nada, nothing. And they don't tell us what to do, we tell them what to do. Now, just remember, I'm not running for office, so this is not a political speech here, okay? But my name is Rodney Al Brown, and I did approve this message, and God bless America. I mean, my God. Yo, here's the problem. Here's what I find. You can't say anything along these lines and then people think you're political. But I mean, as a minister, I have to say certain things about what's going on in the nation. Amen? Amen. Well, thank you. Hallelujah. But let's realize which kingdom we under and who is our commander in chief. His name is Jesus. Can you say amen? And we've got his word. And we've got his name. And we've got his Holy Spirit to help us, to lead us, to guide us, to teach us. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. And it's not time to be afraid. Not time to be afraid. It's time to rejoice. I believe we're going to see the greatest move of God ever. Why? Because when everybody else's gods fail, they'll start turning to God. When the NFL God fails, when the NBA God fails, when the golf God fails, and all the other gods fail, and then they turn to Almighty God. And then he becomes your source and your supply. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Honor the Lord with your first fruits from righteous labors. Your storage places will be filled with plenty, and your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. Hallelujah. That's all I need to know. It's a sure thing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I probably shouldn't unload it tonight, the first night, you know. Should have eased into it, you know what I mean? Reminds me of the story of the guy who wanted to go on holiday, but he didn't really know what to do with these. He had this championship Siamese cat. The thing had won so many ribbons. The thing was worth like $20,000. And so he thought, well, I got to take a break. I've been looking after this cat, and I'm tired, and I need a rest. So I need to take a cruise. So he called a friend. He said, listen, please come and house sit my cat. And I need to take a holiday. So he went. He's taking this cruise. About halfway through the cruise, he gets a call. His friend calls him on, tracks the ship down, the emergency call, said, listen, gets him on the phone, says, listen, the cat's dead. He said, what? He said, did. He said, look, I'm on holiday. You didn't have to break it to me like that. You could have done it gently. You could have. So the guy said, what do you mean? The cat's dead. It's dead. The cat is dead. He said, well, you could have told me, you know, your cat that won all the ribbons, yes. You know, the cat was on the roof, yes. And then it slid down. And it was a very blustery day. And the thing was hanging on the gutter. And it gave off a few mews before it let go. And it fell to the earth. And we ran up to it. It breathed a few breaths. And then one final mew, and then it expired. He said, it would have been easier for me to handle instead of you just call me and say, the cat's dead. The guy apologized profusely. We still had another 2 weeks of the cruise left. Anyway, about a week later, he calls me and said, your mother-in-law's on the roof. So... She's on the roof, bro. Well, let's give you an opportunity. We're going to pray right now. Do not draw back because of fear. Worship God with your tithes and offerings. Put Him first place. You put God first place, He'll take care of you. Can you say amen? Let's pray. Father, bless your people tonight as they give of their tithes and offerings. Thank you that every need of this church, every person in this place be met. Every businessman, every woman, every single parent, every young person, every child, meet every single need. Thank you for your supernatural provision in this place. And Lord, it does not matter what happens to Dow Jones, Tom Jones, Jack Jones, Indiana Jones, or any of the Joneses. But your hands is with us, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. We'll give you just a few moments as you get ready with your tithes and offerings. You make a check out at Calvary Cathedral. There should be an offering envelope in the front pocket right ahead of you. If it's not there, raise your hand. The flight attendant will get one to you. Let me just say this to you, because I know some people are talking about ending the Fed, but I mean, the bottom line is that's the system there. That's there right now. And if you did end the Fed, then who's going to run the money? Surely Congress can't, because they've already proven they can't run anything. So, but God will give us another system, another way to function. Inside of Pharaoh's house, it doesn't really matter. Really? Amen. So, you know, people say, well, shut the Fed down, let the Congress run. They can't run. They couldn't run a lawnmower. Seriously. Really? Stand up, Chuck. All right. I better be ahead of myself tonight. All right. It's just a line from the vice president. He told somebody to stand up, and the guy was in a wheelchair. All right. Stand up, Chuck. Oh, God love you, Chuck. Everybody else is standing up for you. All right. Well, anyway. Some people are not sure if they should hang out here or stay, smile, do whatever. Really. All right. I want to take a little journey here before I get in the message tonight. Try to smile just a little bit, all right? I want to take a little journey, and I found this clip. This is from 93 in the meeting in Central Florida at the Carpenters Home Church. It was a little highlight tape. Now, a few weeks ago, we were sitting in a house, and all the kids were there, Kirsty and Caleb and Kenneth and his wife, and we were just sitting around. And I found this DVD that we had taken off of a videotape, and it's about 30 minutes of one of the highlights of what happened that first 6 weeks in Central Florida. And the thing that slammed me, I mean, hit me like a sledgehammer, was as the clip comes to an end, you'll see the sunset, and then you hear me talking. And what I'm saying is everything that is happening now. Everything that's happening now. And that was from 93. So before I get in the message tonight, I want to play this clip. It is very powerful. You see testimonies of people whose lives are changed. And you'll see the altar call. Some of you remember some of the things. So same here that what happened when it happened downtown, Calvary Cathedral, and those meetings that went on. And we we were there for 4 weeks, broke for 2 weeks, came back for another 2 weeks. Over the full time, we were there about 13 weeks. And we stopped the revivals because we are very conscious of the local church. And we don't feel like it's our job to stay in a local church, if you understand what I'm saying. The church needs to carry on and function and do what they need to do. And when people start saying, well, Pastor Ronnie says that it's time for me to leave, you know what I mean? But we were able to come to Fort Worth, we were able to go to Denver, we went to St. Louis, we went to Jacksonville, and it goes on, the list of cities. And we had four-week revivals in each of these cities, and much was accomplished over that 93-94 period of time. Now, let me just say this. There's a lot of people that would like to go back to that, but I'll tell you what right now. Went back in that time period, it was just us. And I would not swap what's happening now for anything in the world. Let me tell you, we are so far further down the road than 93. 93 is a reference point for people to be touched. But when you get touched by the fire, you're not supposed to lose the fire. Why would you lose the fire anyway? You're supposed to keep the fire burning. But the fire's there for a reason. And the reason is to go outside the four walls of the church to bring in the harvest of souls. Which that's always bothered me about the 90s revival, was everybody just wanted to come and get touched and roll on the floor. Which is nothing wrong with that. But if you're just coming and getting touched and rolling on the floor, and you're doing nothing with what God's touched you with, then you're no different to a drug addict. No different. You're no different to somebody going to Billy Bob's every night. So you got all these spiritual drug addicts. It's all they are. The upper room was not a hotel that you check in and never check out of. The upper room was a place you get empowered and then you go out. And now people being mobilized for the harvest as never before. You know, this last week, Mobile, Alabama, there were 28 pastors involved in the crusade. They took up the first two rows, and I have never seen anything like this in all the years. The pastors of the city were high-fiving each other, were falling down, rolling in the floor. Really, the people watching the pastors up front. I'm talking about white, black, Hispanic, all together. Or different churches, all together. It was the mayor of Mobile, an African-American brother. He came and welcomed me Thursday night. He flew in from Washington, D.C. He was supposed to be busy. He canceled his thing to come and stand on the platform and welcome me to the city of Mobile. People are on fire. They're getting people saved. Mobile's being shaken by the power of God. It's the most phenomenal thing that I think I've ever seen. And this was not like this back in 93. So you've got to understand, we are so much further down the line. But there's a lot of people, listen to me, they got touched by revival, but that's all they got. They never did anything with it. They just sit and take up space at a pew. ...95% of the church in America do not win souls. Now, something's wrong somewhere. I mean, if you get touched by the fire, God's going to do something through you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how many want to see this clip? We'll come tomorrow night and I'll show it to you. No, we'll roll it right now. Just dim the lights and let's roll this clip.
Thank you for your word. We thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. And I pray even as your word goes forth this night that you will touch every hungry heart and every life that has come. Thank you that signs and wonders follow your word. Thank you for all that you've done these past weeks. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for all that shall be done in the days and weeks and months that lie ahead. We see America ablaze with the glory of God. And I pray even tonight that you would touch every hungry heart and every hungry life. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. How many of you here tonight know anything about bees? Buzzing bees. Let me see your hands. All those that know a little bit about buzzing bees. All right. My uncle used to be a honeybee farmer. And as a kid, I would go and watch him, you know, as he'd get and prepare the honey. And one day I walked out there, and there he was with two hives. And I saw him doing the most amazing thing. He was standing over the two beehives with Johnson's baby powder. Now, I'm not kidding you, I'm serious. And sprinkling baby powder over the two beehives. The masses of bees all around. And he's putting baby powder on them. I thought, imagine the taste of the honey. And I wondered what he was doing. And then he said he had taken a queen bee and then taken these two small hives that couldn't really make it on their own and wanted to join them together. But if he put them together, they smelled differently, and so they would start to fight each other. And what he did was he sprinkled them with baby powder, and then they got so busy cleaning themselves, and when they finished, they all smelled the same, and they just come in and help the queen, and they become one big hive. And somehow, I don't know how God's going to do it, but I just think that God's going to just get all these little hives all over the place and sprinkle some Holy Ghost Johnson's baby powder and people are going to get so full of the glory and on the floor under the power of God as they're cleaning themselves. You got an Episcopalian, a Baptist, a Methodist, a Church of God, Assemblies of God, and they all drunk on the new wine, the Holy Ghost, and they couldn't care less. Yeah, then they come. We're going to take notes at Brother Brown's meeting. And if you go and look over the shoulder and see the notes, you see the point number one. How dumb can you get and still breathe? Point number two, you ugly thing. Point number three. Have a double dose. Point number four, get him, Lord. It's there, it's on the notepad. Give it here, leave it. Get him. It's there, I told you it was there. How many want to know what he wrote on the fan? Baby powder. Ha 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 Now, here's something that's interesting. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says they were all with one accord in one place. And then, of course, the Holy Ghost fell. Now, people thought that they were drunk. Peter even stood up and said, "These are not drunken as you suppose." These are not drunk as you suppose. But this is Johnson's baby powder. Come here, sir. Here. I don't know you, but I saw you sitting there. What's God doing for you?
He's really been touching me the last 4 or 5 weeks since I've been coming here. I went home to call my wife one day in Satellite Beach to tell her what happened here. And I couldn't talk. I just started laughing. But that was the first time I got it at home.
Do you understand now why I have some difficulty speaking sometimes?
I notice.
It's real, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You're not making this up, are you? Huh?
The Lord healed me alcoholism during this too.
And now you're drinking the new wine.
Lots of.
Isn't it better to wake up with no hangover in the morning time? If you'd have known that you could have got this high on Jesus, you wouldn't have to wasted all those years, hey? Huh?
No.
But you know what? God says He's going to restore back to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the caterpillar, the canker worm, and the palmer worm. God will restore back to you. Hallelujah. And that yesterday is gone forever, but this is a day of new beginnings. A day of new beginnings, and God says He has His hand upon you and your whole family, and you will tell of the wondrous things that God has done all the days of your life. Excuse me, lady, can you see a change in him?
Yes. Are you happy?
Yes. Very happy. First time I didn't know what's going on, and I'm not just used to like this. I wasn't comfortable at all. And my husband he gets so excited. He said to me one day, "You might think I'm crazy, but I'm going to Lakeland." I says, "Well,
where are you from?"
We're from Salai Beach.
Where's that?
There's a Cocoa Beach from south. And I said, "Well, what is a Lakeland?" He says, "A church." Somebody said it's a brother, Rodney Brown, and he received so much joy. And then I just saw the TV, and I want to go over there. It's okay. And I says, "Oh, go ahead." And so he came over here, and he didn't call me.
He didn't call you?
He didn't call me. And it was 1 o'clock in the morning.
1 o'clock in the morning.
And I was worried.
You were worried?
Yeah, and he called me at 1 o'clock in the morning.
You thought he'd just gone out on the town again.
Well, I didn't know what was he's doing.
Yeah.
And he says, "I'm at church." What do you mean, church?
It?
I said, "What church?" And he says, "Lakeland." He says, "Believe or not, the church is still going. I haven't gone to the bathroom or nothing. I didn't want to leave," he said. He says, "Can I stay here again next morning?" And I said, "Oh, my gosh, go ahead and stay." And so he didn't call me all day again. And the next day, late again, he called and left my business phone, you know, saying, "She knows where I am. I'm okay." Then he didn't call me again. And it was after 1 o'clock, almost 2 o'clock in the morning, he called me again. This time I really had. And I said, "Why don't you come some other time? Why do you keep waking me up?" He says, "Well, they never gone off. They still going." So he stayed here till, 3 days and night. Then he came over Saturday, and I saw him.
But when he come home, what did you think?
Well, I saw him. He looked so different. He looked so different. So I said, "Well, I want to go there too."
You said you want to go there too?
Yeah, and then it was a Saturday. You don't have over here. Saturday was off. So I came over Sunday. We came over Sunday night here. But then I saw the people acting kind of different. They laughing and very annoying me, and I was very uncomfortable. They laugh, and in when you're trying to talk to people, and they laugh and laugh. That really bothered me. But I saw my husband was just
changed.
Yeah. So then last week, May 3rd, his birthday, he said, "Oh, my birthday, you feel okay?" And I said, "Yeah, good. Let's go to Lakeland." I said, "Lakeland? Okay," so we came up Lakeland. Then 5 days later, my birthday and Mother's Day, he told me he had some kind of special plan. So I got excited. Then Lakeland. And I was sitting right here, and two couple teenagers were laughing, bothered me so bad I couldn't stand it. And I just was so uncomfortable. And then later on, I don't know what happened. I said, well, God, if that is from you, really from you, then I want some too. Then all of a sudden, you don't even budget. How can you have it? Something like that. I don't know what happened.
Then what?
It's like you don't even budget anything. How can it, you will receive? And I said, oh my gosh, is that from you, Lord? I want some too. And then I got it. I couldn't stop, and I left so hard that my stomach was ached so bad. And so we've been talking about, that's all we're talking about, and all the friends think we're crazy a little bit.
And but, so today you did something special and you came to Lakeland. Lord, give her a double dose and fill up to overflow. This is the day of the restoration of the joy of the Lord to His people. This is the day of refreshing to a dry and a thirsty land. This is the day of revival and that outpouring of the Holy Ghost. That is only just a beginning, just a foretaste, just a shadow of the glorious move of the Spirit of God that is coming to the earth in this day and this hour. That if this offends you or puts you off, I do not know what you're going to do in the middle of the wave of the glory that's about to break loose in the earth. For the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. This is a day of rejoicing. This is a day when God is restoring back to His people the joy of their salvation. The church has come through a crisis hour when major ministries have closed and gone down, and people have felt the persecution and the attack for and the reproach of many has been brought upon the church. But God is sending a rain, and it is the rain of the Spirit of God to water the dry land. Oh, that the fruit may bring forth, that it may come forth, that the ground might produce, because the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth. The husbandman is waiting, and the Bible says he has long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. Oh, yes. A little rain can be stopped by a covering or an umbrella. But a deluge, no man can stop. And so we've experienced little rains in the past. But the rain that is upon us is a deluge of the glory of God that no man or denomination can stop. For it is the power of God as God is manifesting Himself among His people in this day and in this time. Some will stand in opposition. Do not come directly in opposition to them. Rejoice. Even when they would criticize or persecute you, do not try to justify that which takes place. For those that even criticize and oppose what the Spirit of God is doing, God shall visit in a very real way. And you shall see in the not too distant future, those that the most opposed to what the Holy Ghost is doing shall be the ones greatest for the move of the Spirit of God in time to come. Walk in love and rejoice and be filled with joy, for the day is upon us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Suddenly.
And that other plants you see, and then you know, when he was, and
waiting for the day when right here in America, we'll not just see 1,000 saved a week, but we'll see 10,000 and 15,000 and 20,000 saved in 1 week. His church way here in Lakeland and has a sign. And the one side says signs and wonders, the other one says...